Hello and welcome to Core Women. My name is Dr. Summer Watson and I'm the founder of Core Women and I'm also an empowerment strategist for women. So if you're listening to this podcast to delve more into empowerment strategies, well, you're here for the right reason. However, Core Women was also developed because it's a special place that provides a unique idea of home for the hearts and souls of women. It's a place for us to share our strength, energy, wisdom, and authenticity. It's a place for women to find support and strategic empowerment ideas that will help support their lives. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome Sheila Lehman. Sheila is a registered yoga teacher, RYT 500 in Boise, Idaho. She is also a Reiki master, aromatherapist, and certified in yoga for all, expressive yoga dance, and restorative yoga. Sheila has been practicing yoga for over 20 years. For her, yoga is a way of life, not just on the mat, but also off of it. Let's get right into this, and thank you for joining me here today, Sheila.
Thank you, Dr. Summer, for having me.
Absolutely. So let's go into like your explanation of how your passion for yoga developed.
Like you said, I've been doing yoga for a very long time. I think it's pretty much close to 25 years now, and I did it for me as a way of healing, both emotionally, spiritually, and physically, is what drew me to it, and it seemed to resonate the most with me as it has so many different aspects, and not just the physical and all the asana, the poses, but it also incorporates meditation and pranayama or breathing, those types of things. And especially with life being as stressful as it is, it allowed me those mechanisms to begin to calm down because I tend to be a type A personality. And so always trying to achieve more and more and more and be better and better and better to unrealistic expectations. And so yoga has helped me to not be that way.
Okay. So when did you, or who, was there an introduction to yoga? Were you working at the time and thought, oh, you know, I need something else for my life? How did you, you know, because you did say, you know, it was for both your emotional and physical well-being and just your overall well-being. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, at the time I had two kids, four dogs, a cat. I was going to school full time for my master's degree and I was working two jobs.
Wow, that is a lot of juggling. That's a lot to be taken on.
Yes. So yeah, yes, exactly. It's that attempt to overachieve and meet everybody's expectations, including my own, that I basically put into my own head, that I can do it all, you know, those types of things. And I think as women, we really think that we need to be able to do it all, be the mother, be the wife, be the caretaker of the house, be the, you know, work and all of this. And it was this constant for me, this go, 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 go between classes, and I was teaching and I was substituting at schools and I was working and, you know, and all of these things. So it, and then I had to hurt my back. And so I was looking for something that basically incorporated all of that. And so I just happened to wander into a class, and after taking it, it really resonated with me.
Okay. And so during that class, what happened to you, like physically and emotionally, that, you know, it resonated with you?
It was basically, for me, it was being able to come into that point of stillness.
Yes.
And to be with myself. And, you know, a lot of times when we go, especially because when I started, it was, early, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And that was still during that time of, you know, no pain, no gain, and all of this mentality.
Right.
Which really fuels more into that type A personality.
Right.
And you know, so you push yourself even more. And that I needed something to be able to come into that stillness, to be able to listen to my breath, to calm down. And that was my space to do that. It was my space and time for me to take that time for myself and not have this thing of I need to be jumping up and down and creating more energy, but instead bringing my energy into myself.
Right.
And finding my center and my stillness and my breath and listening to that. And so it was being able to calm down my mind and not have my mind going 1,000 miles an hour of what all I needed to do and then some.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, how did you figure out how to be still? Because I think that that's a question that I always go over in my mind. Like, you know, I love yoga. I've tried many different types of yoga and Bikram yoga as well. And I loved Bikram yoga just because of the heat and the different movements, and it allowed me to be still. However, it was a learning process to be still, to learn to listen to breathing, to breathe correctly. So how was that a challenge for you as a type A personality?
Oh yeah. In the beginning, it definitely was. And it took me a long time to learn how to meditate. And what actually helped me learn how to meditate was Kundalini yoga, which very much does, even with meditation, you at times, depending on the meditation, you move with the breath to bring the breath and the mind together to be able to concentrate. And so with that, it was almost like for me, because of that type A personality and constantly going and going, I had to move into stillness.
Right. Exactly. I think that's really interesting that you say that. And there is a technique for that, because many of us who are juggling so much and we are moving all the time, sometimes we just don't know the steps to take to slow down.
Right. Exactly. And then we think we have to sit to be and be still. And so we force ourselves to do that because we think that's the expectation. And that's not always it. Sometimes you have to move to be able to be still in the mind.
Exactly. And I love that. So I'm going to have to learn more about that as well, just because I think that's a really important, you know, many times we'll say to people, like even in a clinical setting, like, you know what, you can do this. Just go out and relax, find a way to do it. But if people have never done it, they really don't know the steps to take to relax. So, or to change something in their lives. And so sometimes we need to show them step by step what that looks like and what that means and how they can do it.
Exactly. Exactly. Because the worst thing to do is to tell somebody they need to be still, relax.
Right.
They're not going to.
That's right. It's like telling a child, okay, you need to just sit there for 15 minutes and be still. Is that,
yeah, that doesn't
the expectation? No. Are we setting them up for potential failure? Yes. So
yes, exactly.
You know, so I love that. Okay. Now, I'm not sure if we covered, but what is the RYT 500?
That is a registered yoga teacher, and I've done a minimum of 500 hours. So within the teacher training programs, generally you start out with 200, which I did, and that's the basic. And then you add hours on to that through different, through teacher training programs.
Gotcha.
And so I've done 500 hours, and the RYT is a designation through Yoga Alliance.
Gotcha.
And you're pretty much the, in a way, the governing body, I guess, here in the United States. There's also one in Canada. There's international ones. And pretty much what it does is it gives people an idea of your basic understanding within the yoga teaching.
Gotcha. So it's almost like your certification process and the number of hours that you've practiced. So you can do 200, 500 and so forth and so on. And you've been practicing for several years. And you practice out of where?
I'm in Boise, Idaho.
Okay.
And, oh, yes.
Okay. So can most people practice yoga?
I believe anybody can practice yoga. It is finding the yoga for you. And I've always believed personally that you do not fit the body into the pose. You fit the pose into the body. And so you make any modifications, variations using props and anything like that to help a person get comfortable within yoga and within the poses. And there's so many different kinds of yoga. A lot of people like restorative, which uses all kinds of props and allows you to relax. Breathing is yoga, is practicing yoga. It doesn't have to be movement necessarily. It can be just breathing, meditating. It's so many different things. I think in the United States in particular, we've made it into a physical practice without realizing that it's more than that.
Right.
And so
I like that explanation. I like the fact that you say that most anybody can do this, and it's just fitting. Say that line again, fitting the body into
fitting the pose into the body rather than the body into the pose.
I love that. That is excellent, you know, because a lot of times, you know, people might feel a little bit reluctant about, you know, can I do this? Do I have the body type? Do I, you know, it might be intimidating because of the poses.
Exactly. It's like I just presented to one of the yoga teacher training programs here earlier this week on accessibility of yoga for their 200 and 300 hour students, and provided them ideas and uses of props. The wall, bolsters, blocks, belts, anything you can think of, chairs, to see different ways to do poses. And like I told them, my goal, anytime I develop a class, whenever I'm teaching, I try to come up with, in my own mind, at least 5 different ways to do the pose that anybody can do it, whether it's lying on your back or standing.
Gotcha. And that's so important that there are alternative ways of doing poses, because I've done yoga many times, and I recently did it maybe about a month or two ago, and this particular lady used more props than I've ever seen anybody use. And I thought, you know what? That's wonderful, because if I can't reach the ground, or if I can't touch my toes, I can use my block. I can use, you know, I can use the towel. I can use the wall for balance. I can, you know, and not feel intimidated by then doing yoga or not doing yoga. You know what I mean? So, you know, I like that whole idea of you can use props. And everybody can do this. And, you know, it really minimizes the intimidation factor. So when I'm thinking about yoga and you, and I really wanted to talk to you because I wanted to know about your personal yoga mission. What is that?
My personal yoga mission is that yoga can be accessible to anybody. I'm a full-figured yoga teacher. I'm 52 years old, so I'm not what most people would consider the stereotypical yoga practitioner or yoga teacher. And my goal has always been that anybody can enjoy the benefits of yoga, whether it's lying on your back and taking the time to come into your breath, bringing your knees to your chest, or doing arm balances, or arm balances on your back, or whatever the case may be, that it is accessible to everybody and that everybody can learn the healing powers of it, whether it's emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, whatever those healing powers are that yoga brings to you, because it does allow you to come into that space of now, what you're doing in this instance, because we're so worried about what we're doing next,
right?
Or what we did yesterday, and trying to be some kind of perfect individual based on what media puts out or the diet industry or whatever it may be, that we put these unrealistic expectations on ourselves. And yoga allows you to come into the space of now on your mat, where you're at. And it may be different today, it may be different tomorrow, and it may be different from yesterday, but it's okay. And you're where you're at each and every given moment in time. And you allow yourself that time to step away from the TV, the computers, the iPhones, the iPads, you know, and all of those things, and just be with yourself.
Well, and I absolutely love that mission, because it's really important. And that there's another reason I wanted to talk to you, because CORE is an acronym, and the K in CORE, I don't spell it like C-O-R-E, but K-O-R-E, correct? And it's an acronym as to how we as women kinetically connect. And how, so kinetically, how do we move and connect with each other? You know, and we're always moving and moving and moving and moving. So really, I wanted to talk to you because, you know, that has to do with movement. Whatever the movement is, how do we, during that movement, really connect?
Exactly.
You know, and that's so important to know. And yoga could be part of that. And, you know, I want to take you back just a little bit. So you had multiple family members, both fur and human, that you were taking care of when you started this journey into yoga. Where did you find the time?
That's the hardest part, you know. It is finding that time for yourself, because we do have these expectations that we have to serve everybody else.
Right.
And and a lot of times, you know, I made myself go to the class. It was like, okay, whether it was, this is my break before lunch, my mid-morning, or whatever the case may be, this is my time. And in the beginning, it is kind of a chore. You almost have to calendar yourself into your schedule.
Right. Absolutely.
And, you know, until you get into a rhythm of doing that. And so it is literally putting down, whether it's from 12 to 12:30, you know, and you can find, I definitely recommend, if you're having trouble, you know, if an individual is finding the time to fit it into their schedule, you can find sometimes shorter classes, like half hour classes, especially over lunch.
Oh, that's great to know.
Yeah, 45-minute ones, and fitting those in, because sometimes that's much easier than trying to fit in a block of an hour or an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and a half. So looking at where can I find 30 minutes and fit that in, and then actually calendaring it in. So that's pretty much how I had to start, was let me calendar it into my schedule so that I actually put time in for myself.
And I think that is a great tip,
you know,
because I don't
exactly anymore.
We calendar everybody else into our schedule and everything else into our schedule except for ourselves, right?
Exactly. And it is so important that we take that time for ourselves.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Now, Sheila, if we were to leave my listeners with some words of wisdom, what would your words be?
Find the time for yourself. Take that time, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, and do your yoga, whatever that may be. If it's stepping out into nature and smelling a rose and taking a breath, or doing a physical practice, or whatever it is, but that take that time for yourself, and that will allow you to empower yourself, heal yourself, and be better for yourself, and therefore better for anybody else that you're giving the energy out to.
I love that. Thank you so much for being on my program today, Sheila. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. If you need a strategic empowerment coach, contact me. If you want to tell your story of empowerment or how you have reconstructed your life to drive change, send me a video or an email of your story, providing permission to use it on my social media platforms. If you want to be featured on my podcast, reach out to me at corewomen.com. I want to hear from you and to get to know you. You are now part of the Core Women home. Let's get to know each other. Let's learn from one another. Please follow Core Women on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please let your women friends know about this podcast. If you write about Core Women in your social media posts, please hashtag Core Women. This is all about women. If you'd like to know more about Sheila, please go to her Facebook page at Sheila Buckner Lehman. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about Core Women, and please stay tuned for continued growth of the Core Women movement. Let's grow and drive change together.